Coming up on TMS. Chilly.
The hacker strikes again.
But how will all my hawks get there?
Noise canceling forks.
Man, that kid really loves Target.
Someone think of upholstery.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How do accidents happen? For every careful driver, there's one who isn't. You just can't trust the other guy, but you can watch out for him. Defend yourself against his mistakes. Takes more than just being in the right. Nearly half the drivers in fatal accidents are in the right. This one was right. Dead right.
The Morning Stream. Let's go, Sharks!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS for October 25th, 2017. It is Wednesday, and it's 10:07 in the Mountain Time Zone. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Happy hump day to ya.
It is hump day, isn't it?
It is hump day.
Hey, Kim, it's hump day. Oh, you mean like middle of the week.
Married life.
middle of the week, you mean. Got it. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, we're back, and we're here. We're doing it. We're making it happen. We hope you're all having a fantastic Wednesday so far. Got a full lineup for you today. I'm annoyed today.
Oh, good. That's a full lineup. We have Tom, we have Nicole, and we have an annoyed Scott.
Yeah. It's just a stupid YouTube thing that I'll deal with. Yeah. But, I mean, this episode right now that we're talking right now, this will end up being on YouTube, and that's fine. It'll go up there. No one will care a crap about it because Brian just plays indies in the middle without any kind of licensing usually, and... And we cut out the song at the end.
Well, hold on. Let's clarify. It's not that I play it without any sort of licensing. It's that I play it with permission from the owner of the license.
No, I understand that. But what I mean is, for whatever reason, those, even when you have permission on the bigger ones, I get dinged for those. This one I don't get dinged for because they're small bands. They're, you know, young and up-and-comers and stuff, and that's good. So, you know, we work our way around YouTube in any way that we can. Well, today we'll do the same.
Forgive me for being maybe, I don't know, a little bit gun-shy after the events of last week.
Sure. There's a cease and desist right here. It says, Dear Brian Ibbett, stop doing things.
That's the thing. I went to my P.O. box the other day to get what I assumed were the actual, not subpoena, but the actual lawsuit letter, physical printed letter that they scanned and PDF'd would have been sent to. And it wasn't there. So I don't know where... I don't know where they would have sent it because my my website lists the PO box for, you know, bands to submit their stuff, and I get a lot of stuff there. I get a lot of music sent to me there, but for whatever reason,
I know the reason. They were full of it and never intended to do anything. Yeah. That's the reason.
So they wrote it, printed it, scanned it.
Yeah.
But never sent it.
Yeah, because then that would cost mail. Yeah, they don't want it to cost mail until they know they've got you on the hook, and then they'll send it. That's how they'll do it. Yeah. It's a complete scam, those guys, I think.
That's how I want a Joe Pesci rant about that's how the copyright trolls get you. That's how they get you.
There you go. And then when you walk in the house, a brick will swing down from a rope and hit you in the forehead. I like to mix my Joe Pesci metaphors. Hey, so I went to a cookie chill-off last night.
Chill-off. chill off.
It was combined with what they call a trunk or treat. It's like a early... kind of Halloween deal where all the kids are out in a parking lot and you have all these trunks that have been decorated, the car trunks, and they have fake spider webs everywhere and flashing lights, and some people have like a van, and in the van is like a skeleton that keeps sitting up and going whatever stuff. Nice. Like that.
Come on in, children.
Yeah. Shut the door behind you. So that was a thing, and we had a bunch of chili, and so I am just a giant gas bag this morning.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So welcome to my world, everybody.
All right, here, let's talk about chili really quickly, because I know that there are some purists in the audience, and honestly, I'm not sure I understand the difference, right? So Texas chili, no beans, or no beans in Texas chili? Is that the deal?
Oh, I thought it was no meat in Texas chili. I may have it backwards in my head.
Maybe, no kidding.
Someone in the chat will fire it up and tell us. But are there regionalisms again with chili? Is that the deal?
There is, yeah. I mean, so like, you know, beans or meat eight chili recipes that represent the different chili styles, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. I found one.
If it's Texas, it has to have meat. That's the law.
Yeah, it says true Texas chili. Texas chili classic doesn't include beans or tomatoes.
Right.
Only
so
beef.
Chili con carne.
Yeah, it says only beef, homemade chili paste, and a few flavorings. It's what Texans call a bowl of red. Tastes intensely of two main ingredients. Take care to cook the chili at the barest possible simmer to avoid evaporating the sauce before the beef is rendered. Or tender, rather. Oh, that looks really good. Look at that. Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at the same recipe page I am from, Chowhound?
I'm on Epicurious, but I'll bet it's the same.
Okay. Yeah.
You got your 2 ounces of dried New Mexico California guano. Sorry, not guano.
Here we go. Rocky Mountain chili is the one for beef, or you could use elk with chipotles, chocolate, and coffee. Wow. Yeah,
but chocolate.
That's not beans.
No. Well,
Cincinnati chili is the one you pour over spaghetti, which is weird. Yeah. It's just weird,
yeah,
man.
I agree. Not into that. Not into pouring my chili over anything but me.
Yeah. So all chili has to have meat, but it's beans are the questionable content.
So last night there were probably 20 or 30 crock pots full of beans, full of chili. And right. They ranged from my wife's white bean chicken chili thing she makes, which was really good. It's like a white chili,
mm-hmm.
because we're racist like that. And then the rest of it, or everybody else's, was this different, you know, all these different ones. And so one was a beans only, some kind of weird roasted carrot thing that Carter ate because it was vegetarian, because she's a vegetarian.
I bet they went home with a lot of that stuff left over.
Yeah, I think they did. It was spicy, and it was actually pretty good, but I don't think people are automatically going to go to the vegetarian one. The ones that got eaten the most were these really hot, spicy, like beefy ones, so maybe beef is a key ingredient there, but it was good. It was a nice selection. I ate way too much of it and too much of variations of it. I ate like five different kinds, six different kinds, sure. Something like that, and I'm paying for it today, so there's that. Yeah. And
it makes me, it makes me eager to make some green chili, though. The pork green chili that with the hatch chili. We get so much hatch chili in the fall and winter here in Colorado, and I'm sure you do there in Utah as well. But the roadside stands with the what looks like a bingo spinner deal full of chilies over a fire.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're rotating them and roasting them and they just give you a bag of it. Oh.
So a hatch chili is a green chili, right?
Right, yes.
Oh, there we are. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard the name, but now I see the chilies, and these are familiar to me.
Yep, the big, big old flat ones.
Mm-hmm. Look like flaccid severed wieners. A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit, anyway. Exactly. And, look at that one. Yeah,
just get a bag of those, and you wash them under some cold water, get the burnt husk parts off, you chop off the stems, you chop them up, throw some pork in there, simmer it for half a day on low and slow, and boom, Bob's your uncle.
Bob is your uncle. And I'll tell you what, is there anything better than a nice hot bowl of chili and some cornbread on a cool October night?
Oh,
and our friends in California are like, what's that? Because
you know what? We're not going to have a cool October night tonight. It's 81 degrees today in Colorado.
What?
Yes, right. How? And then get this. Yeah. Tomorrow, 40-something. And snow. Like, today is going to be shorts and T-shirt day. Tomorrow is going to be parka and bundle up.
Yeah, like, it's cold here. It's 51 right now. It'll be 68 max, which is kind of unseasonably warm, but you know, nothing like 80. Let's see, by next Tuesday when we leave, it'll be 53, high 53, low 38, so it'll be nice and cool. And California hopefully will be cool again, because my gosh, what's wrong with you people?
Right.
108 degrees yesterday in
Anaheim.
No,
thank you very much.
What the crap. 108. Yeah. It's like an all-time record. They've never had anything this high this late in the year, ever.
Mm.
So, anyway.
That's all right. They'll be done with that by the time we get there. And
Will they?
And then,
Will they?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, we must be positive, Scott.
All right. Well, I'm not feeling very positive today. Today's one of those days where everything's just kind of shitty. It's like, YouTube, F you. That toast had something weird in it. The dog didn't pee when I told her to.
Like, and just... Benson died. Let's talk about that.
Oh,
too.
And Benson died.
Robert Guillaume.
Oh, yeah. Man, what a bummer. Like, yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, no word from Rene Auberginois yet, but I would sure like to hear what he thinks. But
well,
yeah.
Benson, you'll be missed. Let me go back in my bucket of goo.
Make him do a whole eulogy at the funeral. That'd be great. In that voice. The guy was 89, lived a nice long life. You know, that's a good long run.
We were just talking about soap yesterday in the chat room too, during the song, or at some point during the show, soap came up and all the cliffhangers that we had for that final episode that they didn't realize was going to get canceled. So nothing got wrapped up.
So Benson was from that, right? That was a spinoff.
Benson started off on that show. And then about halfway through, he left the show, said, Jessica, I've got a job at the governor's mansion that I'm going to be going to, and I'll see ya.
Yeah. Well, they really had like a moment there where he said where he was going. Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, yeah, because it was a spinoff. It was a true spinoff. It wasn't just
It wasn't like after a show ended, then they started Benson.
Right. No, he left during the middle of the show, and I want to say that there was a later episode of Benson where the ghost of Jessica Tate came and visited him.
Oh my gosh! Really? Shut up.
Yeah, like. You know, basically implying that whatever cliffhanger, I think it was, I think Jessica was in front of a firing squad for the last episode of Soap, and we didn't find out what happened to her. Yeah. And so the ghost of Jessica Tate visited Benson in a later episode.
That sounds bad. Sounds really bad.
I didn't think about it until just now. And no other Soap, you know, Billy Crystal never went and visited Benson, even though...
He could have. Sure. I mean, I don't know that the character was supposed to be dead, though. But did everyone die from soap?
Was Jody a Tate or he was a Campbell? I think he was a Campbell. Oh, yeah, he was definitely a Campbell because Burt Campbell was always talking about
his
son.
You know way too much about soap. My gosh.
Dude, I totally know everything about soap. Give me a soap quiz.
All right, soap. Billy Crystal played what character?
Jody Dallas.
All right, and he was one of the first...
Jody Campbell, and then he got married and changed his name to Jody Dallas.
Famous for being one of the first openly what in America?
Gosh, curly-headed people. Jufro.
Close. Gay is openly gay is the answer. Ding, ding, ding. Gay is what we're looking for.
Gay. Oh, yeah, gay.
Yeah, he was gay. You know, remember, he was gay?
I'm kidding. But of course, he, you know, he had relationships. He actually dated more women on that show than some of the straight characters. Because that was the funny thing is that he fell in love with the woman who was going to help him locate... Oh, what was it? Oh, locate Danny's killer? Because Danny, Ted Wass, Blossom's dad, got murdered in the shower.
Right. Blossom's dad did.
Blossom's dad.
Uh-huh.
And,
You know way too much about
it. I'm telling you. I loved that show when I was a kid. It was the weirdest, you know, talk about a weird show to let your 9-year-old kid watch, but whatever.
I agree.
You know, my parents were loving it, or my mom loved the show, and so I get to watch it the whole time.
Yeah. I don't remember hardly any soap except for the Billy Crystal connection, and I only knew that because I'd say, wait, this guy in SNL, wasn't he on some sitcom? Yeah, it was called Soap. Oh, okay. And then it was the end of that. But
yeah, but there was like so many people came from that. Burt Campbell, what was the guy's name that played Burt Campbell? But he was on one of those 80s sitcoms, not My Two Dads, but something along those lines.
Okay.
No
idea. Wasn't the Spin City guy on there? The Spin
Alan
City.
Alan Ruck?
No, Alan Ruck. Was he on Spin City?
He was on Spin City. Richard Mulligan, that's who I was thinking of, yeah.
I'm thinking
Empty
of the...
Nest. Empty Nest was the show.
Oh, Empty Nest, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, Jay Johnson, the ventriloquist, he went on to like a, you know, like a big Hollywood Squares and Vegas residency career, I think, after that.
Sure. He blazed the trail for Jeff Dunham.
I forgot about him. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a landmark show. I remember it being a big deal, and I remember it being breaking lots of rules and stuff.
Robert Urich, for Pete's sake.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Robert Urich was the one who died. Not Danny. Not Ted Wass. Robert Urich was the one who got killed.
Yeah. And Robert Urich is actually dead as well. now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he died some years ago. You're talking about...
Oh, yeah, 2002. That's
yeah,
right.
Spencer yeah. for Hire, that guy, right?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He used to be... there's a good Star Trek connection there, along with Rene Auberjonois. I hadn't thought about this. Oh, my gosh. That means that there's only two steps between them. This is closer than a... What was the person you usually say? How many?
Oh, Kevin Bacon.
The Kevin Bacon separation. Connection. Yeah. This one only has a couple, and it's... Rene Auberjonois was on Benson. Benson came from Soap. Soap had Robert Urich in it. Robert Urich was Spencer for Hire, and he worked with a man called Hawk, and the man called Hawk became Commander slash Captain Sisko.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
We reached entertainment nirvana. I am sad to see him go, though, because he was a nice guy, and I loved his Rafiki in Lion King. It was Rafiki. He was totally absolutely Rafiki. I'm 100% sure. The bird was some other name.
Just that wasn't Jeremy Irons.
No, but he's alive.
Wasn't that Gilbert Gottfried?
It was Gilbert Gottfried. You're actually thinking of the wrong movie. He was in.
I know.
What was that in? Aladdin. Aladdin. Yeah. He was the bird or the parrot or whatever.
Jafar and the parrot. It was the parrot Iago?
Yeah. Was it? Was it Pumbaa? Oh, we're back.
I'm not playing this game.
All right, Johnson. We're not doing that one this time. Fine. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, also another little PSA for people listening at home. If you're listening, this may help you. You know, about a month ago, Brian, how I had my information hacked and I lost my Twitter account for like 48 hours and somebody was, you know, trying to extort money from friends and that sort of thing. And that sucked and I was super pissed. And they also went after other accounts of mine and everything. And we were able to stop it just in time in a few of those cases. But the damage was done and I was super mad. And I went on this tear to go two-factor authenticate every damn service that I use. Well, I'm here to report that was a good idea because last night somebody attempted a mass attack on everything I do.
Wow.
Across the board.
Brute force kind of thing.
All at once, my Blizzard account, my ESO account, my, what else? Oh, Steam account, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, Google account generally, like all that stuff. Big, wide, suddenly getting all these emails saying, please confirm Blizzard, derba, derba, derba. And in every case, it said, yeah, if you didn't request this, then ignore it. And I could because I had two-factor on and they can't get the code. So, right. F you! Nice try, guys! Better luck next time. Actually, I shouldn't say this stuff out loud, but, you know, like, I worked. My point is that two-factor is actually really good and it saved my ass yesterday. Had they gotten through to all that stuff, I'd be screwed today. Screwed. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Adobe account? My CC account? That's another one they went after. I have that on two-factor now. If you have Adobe CC, go do it. There's no reason you shouldn't. In fact, every major service that I use now supports two-factor of one sort or another. It's a piece of cake, super easy. It's not hard. You just got to go do it. Go freaking do it. I just got a text. Hold on.
Where did you get a text from?
These are the hackers. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Amazon. Amazon saying something's arriving today. Anyway, so there's that. Good times. Oh, and Amazon, they went after my Amazon account, and that was also two-factored.
Jeez.
Oh, it was great, though. It was great, Brian. You have no idea how good it feels numbers pop
still,
up. It's good.
It still has to make you a little... I mean, I don't want to make you worry. Believe me. The last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know you've got your two-factor. You're just like, oh, crap. I don't want to be their target anymore, right? Like, right. You want to be...
I want to be off their radar. I want them to move on. Yeah. But here's the thing. I hope that, unless it's a listener who's got some vindictive thing going on, I hope that the fact that they can't get to the two-factor at all, there's just no way for them to get to that. Well, then move on.
Hopefully they give up and move on to somebody.
Yeah, go after my mom or somebody who never does any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, don't go after my mom. Leave my mom alone. Don't bug my mother. Okay.
You know, we talked about Robert Guillaume passing away. One more sad death to talk about. Sorry, Bob Peterson. Sorry, Free Hotel Room, if you're listening.
Yeah.
But Fats Domino passed away as well.
Oh, see, now that's a name. If you'd asked me in a quiz scenario where money was on the line, if he was already dead, I would
still
have said
alive.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That surprises me. So he was also 89, right? Same age.
I think so. He was right. Wow, crazy. Yep. Yep. But found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. Ain't that a shame? Mm-hmm. I'm walking. So of course, adding to today's episode of Coverville, which I guess I'll tease later on in the show, but Fats Domino, Gord from Tragically Hip are going to be, we're going to be paying tribute to, as well as Herman's Hermits, and not because he died, but because they had a birthday.
Sure.
And Johnny Rivers.
Let's see who died this year so far. Are you ready?
Oh, so many people died this year so far.
Yeah, so we can just say, so I can just have a little satisfaction about my rant last year about 2016 being as bad as everyone thought it was.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, the people, thanks. You suck, 2016. Yeah. Can you be over?
Everyone
thought, it's just going to get worse.
No,
because
people are aging. They're all aging out.
Yeah.
Like, we are, you know, days go by. We're all getting older. That's the deal. Fats Domino, Robert Guillaume, they're brand new, of course. Rosemary Leach. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, okay.
Room with the View, that'll be the day. Some old movies. She was 81. Let's see. Brent Briscoe, an actor you've seen in things, you just don't know him, but he was in Twin Peaks most recently.
Brent Briscoe, oh, really?
Died at the age of...
So many people from Twin Peaks died.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This year. I mean, we lost...
He was in Parks and Rec. He was JJ, the proprietor of Leslie Knope's beloved JJ's Diner on that show there.
Right.
Sean Hughes was only 51. As an Irish guy, had a liver cirrhosis thing because he drank too much. Mm. How about Rodney Bickerstaff? Do you know who that is?
The name sounds familiar, but...
He is a... What is he?
We're not really going to go through the entire list.
No.
So far.
No. Tom, but I will mention some big ones here. Tom Petty, of course. We knew about that one.
Right.
Gord Downie, we talked about him, the Canadian singer guy. I went down a rabbit hole with him and read some rad stuff. Hugh Hefner... Liz Dawn, I don't know who that is. Charles Bradley, William G. Stewart, and don't forget Frank Vincent, Sopranos star Frank Vincent. And there's a lot more, but
there's a lot more. Yeah. I'm sure we're forgetting some pretty major ones that. But I don't know, Prince and David Bowie. It's still that still stings a little bit.
Did you know Jay Thomas died?
Harry Dean Stanton was the one.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Jay Thomas, yeah, right. We talked about that. That not Tortelli, but.
The Penguins
hockey player that Carla Tortelli was married to.
Yeah, that was later in the series.
It was,
and he's in lots of stuff. Mork and Mindy and Murphy Brown and...
Right, and he had a regular show on Sirius, and I think it was on one of the Howard Stern channels where he would do columns and stuff. And I guess he was trying to remember. It seemed like the times that I tuned in... It was very politically charged, and that surprised me. I didn't know that Jay Thomas had a really, really political bent to him. But
Big time. Actually, a few people like that died this year, like Dick Gregory died, and Bruce Forsyth, who was he? Guinness Book of World Records having the longest television career for a male entertainer. Anyway, and there's a bunch of names I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, there you go. 2017, you bastard.
Yeah.
You bastard. You've done it again. You're taking people out before their time. Except they're 91, and that's totally their time.
Exactly.
Yarr. He's a pirate now. All right. Brian Dunaway time. What do you say?
Bring it on.
You like the sound of that?
I do like the sound. I like the cut of that jib.
Good. Because jib and all are heading in. And I would like to say briefly to the people listening at home, if you'd like to participate in today's contest, 801-285-9395 is the number to use, and now I will play this here song right here. Justin. Brian.
not even ever on this segment.
Brian.
Can't even win.
Brian.
As always.
Brian Robert Dunaway Schwood is on the line. Hi, Brian Dunaway Schwood. Robert.
Robert Downey.
Junior.
What's up?
Robert Downey Jr. Hi, it's good to see you. How are you? I guess we don't see you. Where are you right now? Where are you?
Oh, well, here. How about that?
Well, you don't have to send this video if you don't want to. Where are you? You're showing as nothing. You are nothing to us on the screen. It's still... Oh!
Apparently this was developed by Concerned Ape.
Concerned Ape.
Are we going to watch you play a game? Is that what we're going to do?
Sure, why not? You guys do your thing and I'll do mine.
Oh, I like this. This is great. Wait a minute. You know what this is? This is Stardew Valley you got going.
Oh, is this Stardew Valley? Nice.
Oh, is that what this is?
It could be that, or it could be that other one. Oh, no, there it is. Stardew Valley.
What, Stardew Valley.
Are you streaming this from the Switch or PC or what?
The PC, a listener of the Boop Show, a friend, sent me a copy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm
going to
play it this week.
Cool. Oh, that's very great, cool. Dude. Look at you playing the Stardew Valley. Well, excellent. Hey, it's good to have you here as always, Mr. Brian Dunaway. We're big fans of yours, as you know, and happy to have you here on the program and watch you play Stardew Valley while we do this. It's actually great.
Big fans, huh?
Yeah. What name are you going to give this guy?
What episode Booby Slave?
Oh, Booby Slave?
That'd be the Flash Gordon episode.
No, good job. Sorry. Booby Slave is my name.
Is that the name of your Stardew Valley character? Look at that.
Booby Slave. Right, Booby Slave. Right. Very well done. Nice.
Is he going to marry a Mingo Phone?
What?
Yeah, Mingo Phone is the name of my farm.
Does he have to call Flash Gordon?
My favorite thing is Flash
Gordon.
Gordon.
Yeah, it's got to be Gordon.
There you go.
All right, while you do this, I'm going to take a call here, and we're going to get going with this contest. Feel free to keep playing, keep going, keep rolling. This is your first foray into the game, I take it? This is the first time you've
Yes, my first time, yeah.
All right, well.
Cool. I'm going to be getting into it as well, but decided that I'm not going to do it before Mario's Odyssey.
Yeah,
I'm waiting.
You got
it. Well, it's a good plan.
That's Friday, so get excited.
Hey, look, I'm Santa.
You are Santa. You're a green Santa. You're Luigi Santa. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this on the phone?
This is William from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, William from Portland, Oregon. It's been a while. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
That's fantastic. We're doing great.
Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Brian, I think you just took out of that dead guy's hands his dying wish for you to take his farm. I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you get
his one copy of Goodnight Moon, apparently, is what you just took from his hands.
All right. Well, while
that's
going on,
there.
Here's the deal. Brian's going to explain, that is to say, Ibbot will explain how this contest works and what William could win. Brian, take it away.
That's right. In just a few moments, we're going to be asking Paul Thomas, Philip Seymour, Jennifer Love, Chad Michael Dunaway here a trivia question. Mm-hmm. And... he's going to be giving his answer, which is going to take the form of a number. At that point, we're going to turn to you, dear listener. And I worked so hard on remembering Brian Dunaway's names that I forgot yours. I'm sorry. What's your name again?
William.
That's right. You did say William.
Yeah.
We're going to be asking you whether the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package from Scott Johnson, which includes the Joker. Painted wooden figure that you assemble, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figure, and a CD music for a 1950s video game by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra.
Yep, music featured on the Boop Show, actually. This is on this CD.
So cool.
Yeah, so you're going to copy that. And a print pack, I didn't include that in the description, but a print pack from me, signed by me, of some various artworks, 4x6 art, that you will receive all together if you are correct today. Brian Dunaway... Are you ready?
He's too busy reading the letter he snatched from Santa's hand.
I can do both.
Dear Booby Slave.
If you're reading this, you must be in dire need of a change.
Dear Booby Slave. That's really good. I thought the game, I bet it doesn't even censor. You can probably call yourself anything you want.
Probably. Yes. Your category today, Brian Dunaway, is... Oh, not this video game, but another one. Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto. Okay. All right. Here we go. Your question is this. Grand Theft Auto 3 came out in 2001 and featured several missions to complete, or as he wrote, several missions to complete. How many total missions were available in the game Grand Theft Auto 3? And just as a reminder, this is the big coming out of the 3D version of the world. This is the PlayStation 2. This is a huge leap from what it used to be, the old top-down 2D business that game used to be.
Listen, Johnson, you can criticize Iceworm's spelling all you want.
Yeah.
It's like the pot calling the kettle black, and you'd misspell both pot and kettle.
Yeah, but listen. Seville is pretty good. Seville? How would you say it?
I corrected your spellings of both Chili and Benson in the show notes this morning.
How did I spell Benson wrong? What did I do there?
You put Bensan.
Oh, whoops. Bensan.
Bensan.
Bensan. Bensan.
Oh, now I'm sad. The
Japanese samurai leader of the government office.
Yeah. Brian's got an NPC in the town that just said, hello, you must be Booby Slave.
Last of me.
I love it.
All right.
All right. So how many missions? Complete missions?
Yeah. Do you want
to... Not like sub-levels, like the high-level missions. Do I get a clue?
I can give you a clue.
Not the overarching big mission of get through Grand Theft Auto 3.
Right. Right. Surviving.
The one right. mission of beating the game. There are... Okay, I'll give you a hint, all right? It is somewhere between 25 and 225 missions.
Oh, wow. That's already 25 is more than I would have guessed. Because this is the old GTA, right?
Well, it's still 3D. It's the new, it's PlayStation 2. It wasn't that old.
Right. Oh, Scott, we're like PlayStation 4 on the verge of PlayStation whatever's next.
Yeah, there's only been two PlayStations since then. It's not really that
much. I know, but PlayStation's like last forever. They're like, hey, when are you going to retire this PS2? 20 years.
Yeah.
They hang around forever.
Well,
okay,
hold on.
So,
how many years ago was this? 2001 says 16 years ago.
2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick was a year old when
years.
I played this.
Wow. Oh, just yeah. 16 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it was like yesterday.
Listen, you can play GTA 3 on your iOS. You can play it on your Amazon Fire. You can play it on your Xbox. I mean, you can play it on anything. So...
Can you play it on the Fire?
You can play 3? GTA 3 on the Fire OS, it says.
Ugh. That is crazy. Wow.
Let me tell you how many things I want to play on the Fire OS. The answer is zero, okay?
None. Movies, and that's even a stretch.
A real stretch. That Fire OS has problems. I'm going to just say it out loud. I love me some Amazon, but I think that... anyway, I can't watch, like, if you're watching a 2-hour movie on there, like on Netflix or something, you need to plan on restarting the whole thing in about an hour, because this audio and the video will not be synced at some point, especially if you're using the little dongle one. What's that one called? The Fire Stick?
Stick, yeah.
Yeah, the Fire Dongly.
That thing's,
stick.
That thing's bad.
Fire anyway, Dongle.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry. You've got... It's
Fire... Now. Fire Stick. Oh, yeah. So my guess, between 25 and 125 missions available on Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 64.
64 total missions. Brian, is that correct?
64 is incorrect. William, is the actual answer higher or lower than 64?
Dang it, Brian. I was going to go with 65.
So that would be higher.
You hit it so... I know. You hit it so close. All right. I will go higher.
Higher than 64.
You've made a horrible mistake.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, it was 2001. I don't know where we were at then or what the newer games have, but let's see if you're correct.
60 more than 64 would require a lot of attention span for a video game.
Exactly. So let's find out. Is it more than that?
Congratulations.
It totally is.
You're a winner.
Not by much. 76 is the total number. To break them down, there are 51 story missions, 17 phone missions, and 4 off-road missions, and 4 remote control car missions.
Oh, I forgot the remote control arm. That's what I was missing.
That's where you screwed up there, Brian. Well done.
Yeah.
You are the winner, William. The Joker thing, the Teenage Mutant Ninja thing, the CD... and some random prints from me. All you got to do is send an email to me, scott@frogpants.com, and I will have those shipped out to you post-haste. Congratulations.
Excellent.
Well, nicely done.
Yay!
All right, so you're moving into your grandfather's cottage. It's a good house. Very rustic, says this local townsperson. I think that's the mayor.
With quotes, very rustic.
Yeah, very rustic.
You know what I mean. Is it a good idea to have all of that firewood in the lean-to in your firehouse?
Yeah, well, here's what you're gonna do very early in this game. You're gonna go around and guy says rude. You're gonna go around and cut up some trees and break up some rocks. Don't listen to her, booby slave. She's just trying to make you dissatisfied. Oh, this is great. Why didn't I use a goofy name when I played my first playthrough?
So funny. I know. I never think to do that.
I think I'm just or something.
Just watching this, it's like, oh yeah, this looks a lot better than the Animal Crossing make your own campground game.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, it looks fine, and I'm sure I'll play it because, you know, whatever, but... I'm not overwhelmed with excitement after seeing that video last night.
I know. It's like I don't care about interior decorating and interior design and flip this house business.
Yeah.
I want to grow crap. I want to sell that crap, and I want to get other crap.
That's kind of where I want to be too. So you'll like Stardew then. Yeah. Cool. It's a little more hardcore than the other one. So I do like the simplicity of Animal Crossing. But I will say this. This is the one good thing about all of this. I think this means you got to WASD that business there, Brian. I think that the game itself, I think what this means is they're doing like a little half-ass thing for mobile, and that means we'll still get a proper flagship game on the Switch at some point. That's what I think is going to happen. So that's what I'm holding out for. That's the hope. That's the dream. Brian Dunaway, have fun as you play this game. I promise you're not going to be able to hatchet that box open, but keep trying.
I'm going
to
do it.
It just won't happen. I promise you that.
Believe in me.
It won't.
Believe in me.
I can't. I won't, and I can't. But I will say this. Having you here is great, and we'll talk more about your fun with this and, of course, the news about Animal Crossing and so much more on The Boop Show, which happens every Monday at 3:30. It will, in fact, be the last show I do before BlizzCon next Monday. So check us out at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. Brian Dunaway.
Yeah. 1 week from today, I fly.
Yeah, that's true. We're all out of here, man. All out of here. Wait. Yeah, you fly today.
Mm-hmm. One week from today.
Right? I flew. I'm there already. In fact, right now I'm probably at. Am I supposed to even say? I'm at a rehearsal thing. I'll say that. Right now.
Oh, you can say that, can't you?
I don't know.
Isn't it knowledge what you're going to be doing at BlizzCon?
I don't know. They keep telling me. Okay. They say it's on the schedule, but then they say, "Now don't talk about it out loud yet." I'm like, "But it's on the schedule."
Okay.
And everyone can see it on the schedule, so I don't know. I don't know why I can't talk about it. Isn't that weird? It's a little weird.
You can't talk about the amazing, incredible things you're going to be revealing as part of that. You know, the new playable race of Murlocs. You can't talk about that. You can't talk about the expansion that finally ventures into the world of the upside down Azeroth.
Sure. No, this is all happening, obviously.
Oh, shoot. Am I not supposed to talk about
anything? I don't know anything about anything. That's the other thing, is I don't know what they want me not to say, because all I know is what the rest of the world knows, which is what we're going to be on the stage Saturday at 11. That's it. That's all I know. So anyway, come on back and check it out. Where are we now? We gotta do some news. Here's the news brought to you by
Do you have an Apple Watch? Do you hate the soap on a rope look of the charging cable? Then check out our Kickstarter for the Watch Bar. It's a handmade wooden base for the Apple Watch's charging cable, available in 6 different hardwoods that will be made right here in the Utah. Look at this one I'm holding right now. It's beautiful. It's the maple. Yeah. It's easy to use and durable. It'll protect your charger. Whoop. Let's try that again. There we go. It'll protect your charger while beautifying your charging area. Search for us on Kickstarter under WatchBar or go to tiny.cc/WatchBar. It has magnets!
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. He sent us some samples. I have some as well. And
it is gorgeous. And
it's really cool.
I know it's not intended for the kind of watch I have, but it works just fine with it. Like,
the kind of watch you have? Oh, you mean the kind of band I have.
Sorry, the Milanese Loop. Yeah. But I just basically put the thing around the bar and boom. Yeah. There's even enough space underneath it for me to let the thing wrap around and not have it wobbly. It's perfect.
It looks really good and it's nice. I like the maple. I'm a fan of the of the maple.
Me too. Love the maple.
Let's dive into some stories here. Let's begin with a Saudi prince who booked a flight for 80 different hawks. Now, you think to yourselves, "Oh, is he treating the Atlanta Hawks to a nice trip to the United Arab Emirates or something?" No.
Did he have Wi-Fi on that flight so he could keep sending me emails about how I can help him collect his money from the Saudi bank?
Is that where those come from? I thought those were Nigerian.
Well, there's a Nigerian prince, but isn't there like a, don't you also get Saudi prince emails? Well, no,
I don't, because I think the Saudi prince is like a known guy. Like the Saudi prince and the entire Saudi royal family.
It's an existing.
Yeah. It'd be like you getting messages from Prince Philip and fooling you into thinking that, "Hi, gotcha, I'm a British prince, and I need your help getting money out of the Queen's bank." Anyways, a Saudi prince booked a bunch of flights, like actual seats, for 80 of his pet hawks. Look at this picture, everybody.
I love that. I love that photo. Like, just all of them sitting there, especially where you can't see anybody's heads, and it just looks like a bunch of hawks, one in each seat, sitting there.
Yep. And look at the guy. One of the flight attendants is doing, like, the safety stuff over there on the left. And and it's just like all the hawks aren't paying attention. It's like, man.
In case of a water landing, really, you're going to be fine, honestly. We'll open a door, you can fly away, and boom.
So, no, this actually happened back in February, but I got the link yesterday, and I thought, well, this isn't something we should skip. I know it's old, but I don't care. The birds can fly, but planes can fly faster. That's what the Saudi prince figured when he wanted to get his 80 hawks from A to B in a timely fashion. So the photo, which says it went viral, although I never caught the virus, I guess. After the flight's captain snapped a picture and sent it to his friend who posted it to Reddit, the photo shows dozens of the birds, each in his own seat, in the central rows in the aircraft. Men in traditional Saudi headdresses occupy any seat not taken by a bird. Falconry is a popular pastime among the wealthy in the Middle East. The captain friend sent me this photo. Saudi prince bought a ticket for his 80 hawks. Why are you moving your hawks around, though? What's the deal? They don't really say.
I guess you gotta move your hawks from place to place, I guess. I mean, I did see a note that Sully Sullenberger was supposed to fly that flight, and he said, nope, sorry, and didn't walk off.
He looks a lot like Tom Hanks, weirdly.
He does.
The Emirates says this: animals are not permitted in the cabin of Emirates flights, with the exception of falcons between Dubai and certain destinations in Pakistan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they do allow it. Let's see. The British Airways was the plane. 2013 reported. Oh, there's a report in 2013. It's the Gulf News reported that more than 28,000 falcons have been issued with passports since 2002. Wow. In a bid to combat the illegal trade of the birds in the region. So this is like the legit way of moving your birds around. It's just strikes me as super strange.
It is. I don't think it would be a fun flight to be on.
Nope.
I feel like no amount of Bose noise-canceling headphones would work for a flight like that.
Yeah. Or I mean, they're all wearing their hoods, so maybe they're quiet, but they're going to be pooping everywhere. They're going to pee everywhere.
Yeah, but
and they're in seats. It's not like they're in cages, you know. Like it's a.
I know, that's true. Oh, but they're not going to be flying anywhere. They'll have the little leather straps that keep them on the handler's arms.
Yeah, but how would you like to be, Raheeb or whatever on the left side there, having to sit there? Like, oh, why did I buy this ticket? You'd say to yourself, I should have got a window. Anyway,
is there a non-bird seat that I can have, please?
And you can't really talk the bird into moving. You want to be okay if you took the aisle there, bird? Caw! Okay, I don't know what that means. All right, what else here? Three-year-old loves Target so much, her mom threw a Target-themed birthday party. You need your kid needs to get out a little more, dude. Come on.
Yeah, no kidding. If Target's your favorite place.
Emily Kern's daughter, Charlie, loves the store so much, she asked her mom for a Target party. Kern laughed it off at first, but then decided, hey, well, let's do it. Kern used her creativity to create a little girl's dream party. The photos are posted on Facebook, and we'll now share them with the chat room so you can see them on this video here. As you can see.
Oddly enough, she was registered at Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, look at this. She's got Targets everywhere, Target logos everywhere. Everything's themed from Target. This three-year-old is into it. Let's see, is this Instagram? No, it's Facebook. Look at her just freaking out. She is so into
it. That's crazy. What a weird.
Yeah, she's into it. 3 years old.
Wow.
Target everything. Target colors, Target logos. There's even a Target cafe where you eat, you know, like they have there.
Yeah. Just like, that's awesome. Is there a Starbucks on the other side of the house?
Yeah. That, kids are weird like that. And the chat room's right. Go for it, Mom. Like, if your kid's weird, it's a phase. I promise you that. Carter had one of these phases. I don't remember what it was for, though. It was something like this, though. And you just have fun with it, and then it goes away, and you don't care. Exactly. You worry when they're 28 and they're still having Target parties.
Right. Which is, by the way, jump back. You skipped a story.
Oh, I did? Oh, the noise-canceling ramen forks.
Can't skip this. This is great.
Yeah, this is key to our survival. Nissin, you know, the brand that makes a lot of the ramen there.
The Cup of Noodles, yep. They make their Cup of Noodles company.
They do. They have made a noise-canceling ramen fork. Instant Ramen Titan, Nissin, I picture a giant robot because it's Japan, is releasing a limited edition fork that can detect the sound of noodle slurping and trigger nearby smartphone apps to play a recording to mask the food noises. The little device costs around $130. Nope. No thanks. And the cup noodle maker is manufacturing 5,000 of them, and maybe they'll do more if they do well. Seems like a novelty gadget, perhaps even a visual stunt along the lines of McDonald's fork for the Burger King Whopper holder. Wait, how does that work? Oh, or the Burger King Whopper holder. Yeah. There was a Burger King Whopper holder?
I think so. Yeah. Okay, they, you know, these gimmicky things. McDonald's had a special straw that would allow you to slurp a shamrock shake, both in the mint part and the chocolate part, simultaneously. Like it was a dual pronged straw.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
no, I remember
like,
that.
It's just one of these gimmicky things. Did you watch the video for this noise canceling fork, by the way?
No, but we're gonna. I'm gonna.
Okay. You'll skip. You gotta skip way ahead because the first part is just kind of setting up the problem with traditional ramen slurping.
All right, cool. But by the way, I found the hands-free ropper holder. That is insane too. I can't believe that exists. That's insane. All right,
it's hands-free holder. Why, yeah. Like it goes around your neck or something?
Yeah. If you do a search for whopper holder. It's really just like a hands-free Whopper eating device. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Okay, let's see.
I love it. That's awesome.
Let's see if we can play this here video here. Which one of these is the video?
Are you on the...
Here we go.
You got to go to the Nissan page.
Yeah, I'm on that. Okay, is it the YouTube video? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then go... You got to go like... after they show the fork spinning around about... a minute in or whatever, that's where you'll actually start to get audio you can use.
All right, so they're all hanging around. They're excited to try it. I'm going to skip ahead.
It's
a lot of white guys and black guys talking Japanese, and it's freaking me out.
Saying basically, I'm Japanese, and it's a tradition for us to slurp our ramen. And the other people, the non-Japanese people are saying, no, it's disgusting, and it turns me off, and
yeah, okay, so. I get the feeling that those are bad accents. Okay, now we get
Please notice, by the way, that they call it a fork, not a fork.
Sample
on the data mining,
folk
instead of FORK,
like folk music, kind of. Okay, let's see. Oh, wow, look at it's 3D printed.
Yes,
okay, so you take it in, slurp it in, takes the sound things, sends it to your phone, and now your phone plays. And it noise cancels it?
It doesn't. This is the goofiest part.
That's really weird.
So listen to the noise it makes when it catches you slurping your ramen.
All right. What? So like a, hold on, I gotta hear that louder.
Like a Toto washlet flushing noise.
Yeah, it's like a urinal just... That's the dumbest thing. It doesn't do any of what they say it's going to do.
That's $130 worth of technology right there.
That's a good deal. Sign me up. How does one pay for such a device?
Yeah, it doesn't mask the noise at all. It pretty much amplifies it to where, you know.
That's the dumbest thing
where,
I've heard.
Where if somebody missed your slurping noise, I guess I missed your slurping noise, but I hear it now because of that toilet sound. Thank you very much for providing that.
Listen, Tom Merritt, if this isn't your main topic today on Daily Tech News Show, then when you're doing it wrong, you should be talking about that thing. Right. Vaseline-covered Oklahoma man in a thong pulled over for speeding. Couldn't help but have to talk about this one.
The headline pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it? Doesn't it cover everything we need to know?
It's kind of the whole story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Police officer in Oklahoma wound up getting way more than he bargained for after pulling over a driver for speeding, and he pulled him over and found out the man behind the wheel was clad in nothing but a thong and slathered in, that's right, Vaseline.
You'll never catch me, Peter Griffin.
You're trying to catch me now.
There's already a character on Family Guy just like this, right?
There totally is. That's the guy.
Greased up, naked guy wearing underwear.
Yeah, I think you're right. It says this. Speeding car pulled over, described police as a delayed response to the blaring vehicle behind him. Upon approaching the car, they discovered the 54-year-old John Wayne Kellerman.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Well, Pilgrim.
I'm naked and covered in
slather another batch of this stuff on me.
Yours is a very Southern Belle version of John Wayne.
It kind of is, yeah. It's like,
I like it.
Gone with the Wind, John Wayne.
They said he was in nothing but an aforementioned banana hammock and petroleum jelly. This is the worst part. The deputy asked if Kellerman had been masturbating. Kellerman said yes, he had indeed. Kellerman,
really?
Then,
that's like the
yeah.
They could ask you that. Where's my lawyer?
Yeah, I know my rights. Kellerman then reported proffering up a piece of cloth to the officer to remove the Vaseline from the ID card. But Officer Beebe, according to the police report, turned down the offer of what the deputy described again as an official government document as a quote. I can't say it. I can't say the words. I'm not going to say what they said it was. Anyway, let's see what else. Discovered upon performing a check of Kellerman, not only was the Vaseline coated man in the car not possession of a valid driver's license, he had not had one since 1985. It says he had previously served 27 years in prison for car theft. Let's see what else. Smoking gun reports. He was also sent up the river for burglary, domestic assault, narcotics possession, and escape from confinement. Wouldn't that be escape? Why is it escape? Should be escape. Escape.
Yeah. Escape.
Escape from confinement. Anyway, it says, once again, proving himself to have been and always have been a slippery figure. Because he's all lubed up, see, in the Vaseline. Get it? That's why.
Oh, I get it.
That's
I
a hoot. It's a real hoot. All right, that's it. We're taking a break. When we come back, Tom and Nicole and all that stuff. So come on back for the Wednesday goofiness right after a song from Brian.
Yes, it is an indie in the middle from a performer we've played before, way back in July of this year. We played some music by Natalie Krause, and we're going to do it again because she's great, and she has a brand new single coming out. I'm sorry, it came out on the 22nd of October, so just a couple days ago. She is a pianist, a guitarist, a singer, songwriter, and an indie artist who has really made a big splash on YouTube. You can check out a ton of her music and videos on YouTube, and I encourage you to do that. She's got a pretty full channel there of stuff. And she does a lot of covers. She does a cover of Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. But then she also has a lot of originals as well. We're going to be playing one of those originals. That song is called Good Enough. It's brand new. Here is Natalie Krause.
The same pain that burns in mine, those scars that You hungry? Looking for a tempting treat? Hold on till I absorb some heat. Some added tang might please you too. I'll slide into an oven-fresh bun, and I'm ready for your eating fun.
Why don't you try a juicy, good hot dog? Mmm, delicious.
I loathe Zuni aesthetics.
The Morning Stream.
What's that?
People missed your little pirouette there at the end.
That's all right.
Yeah, it was strong.
Just for you, apparently.
Wow, I feel honored to have seen it and sure. witnessed it myself. Hey, thanks everybody for being here. And that was a good song. That was great. And
yeah.
And now, Tom Merritt time. It is Tom Merritt time. This point of the show merits Tom Merritt. I have no other ways to say it. That's all the ways I know how to say it. We'll get him in here, though, see what's up in his world. And we'll do it by playing this little thing.
Ooh, it's red today.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That's right. It's Red Merritt, we call him. Red Tom Merritt there, over there. You got a very
hunt,
nice...
The hunt for the red update.
Great. It's good to
in
see
in honor you. Of China's Politburo. No, I don't know.
Oh, good.
I don't know why it looks so much more red right this second.
Yeah.
Did you have a green... I mean, you changed colors on that background...
No, it's. I mean, since I moved to the books thing, it's always been an orangey.
Oh, has it really? Okay.
Thing. Yeah, I did a white balance. Maybe since the last time we talked, maybe that's it.
Well, I think just seeing your face in the morning is all I need. So,
who cares how red you are? Guys,
who cares how red you might be? Hey, it's Tom Merritt. Everybody comes on the show on Wednesdays, talks about the latest in technology news as he prepares for the Daily Tech News Show, his fantastic daily programming featuring. All things tech. What's going on right now? This we get closer to the holidays. I feel like the news starts to get weird.
Yeah, it does. Because all the big announcements are kind of done now. But Amazon dropped one today. If you're curious, there's a war on for allowing strangers into your house.
Oh, okay.
We may have talked previously about Walmart partnering with August Lock about. You know, a partnership with Deliv that if you ordered something from Walmart delivered, they could come up to your August Lock and then open your door and stick the package inside. Well, Amazon's done the same thing. It's called Amazon Key. But this is all within Amazon. So you go to Amazon, you spend $250, you get a security camera, which is kind of one-upping the Walmart thing. They're saying, hey, you know what? August sells one, but Amazon's saying it's part of the package. $250, you get the security camera, and you get a lock from either Yale or Kwikset. We'll give you free installation. And then anytime an Amazon driver, and only our drivers, no third parties, anytime an Amazon driver delivers a package to your house, they'll be able to come up. You'll get a notification saying they're there. So you can watch live on your camera as they open the door, and we promise just slip the package in and close it. They won't walk around, they won't drink your booze, nothing.
Okay.
It's funny. It's just funny that, and I totally trust, you know, the fact that they emphasize all of the secure features. You get to watch them on a security camera. You get, you know, you don't get third-party delivery people. But it just seems funny that the solution to people stealing that one Amazon package from your porch is by giving somebody full access to your house.
I mean, let's evaluate the security implications there, Brian. Sure, I think that's a very good question. They leave the package on your porch and on your porch.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my porch.
For me, that's they leave the package on your porch. Yeah. Anybody could find it, right?
Right.
The entire world, all 9 billion people could find it. But if you're allowing Amazon in, then it's only one stranger.
I see. So you're looking at it from instead of it being one
multiple
package.
Multiple people can steal one package, or one person can steal everything from the house.
Yeah. My worry would be that I have a big question actually about what constitutes an Amazon driver. But let's just say this guy pops his head in there. What is to stop some nefarious actor on the outside from waiting for that guy to do it, bonking him over the head, and now he's got full access to everything? You know what I mean?
That guy could bonk you on the head.
I was going to say, that's already a weakness in opening doors. I don't think Amazon's introducing a new vulnerability there.
All right, but back to the point of the driver. Is there such a thing as an Amazon-only driver? Because I've never gotten.
No, Amazon Logistics. Have you never seen the white van pull up?
No.
You probably just never see the van.
Maybe I never did.
But yeah, there's Amazon dedicated. That does limit the places that and the items that will work with this. So, you know, Amazon doesn't talk a lot about that. They say 38 million items available at launch and all of that. That's something where they say for now. My guess is they just want to get the liability worked out with UPS and such before they start adding that. Also, the hardware. I mean, I don't think UPS's little thing has the ability to unlock an Amazon key.
Yeah. Well, the key I was going to say to all of this working is the thing I suggested last time we were on here, and we probably were talking about that Walmart thing, but having kind of a airlock home situation. Where your front door, you've got two front doors, basically, and a little bit of space between them. And that front door is the one they have access to. The airlock inside is only you have access to. And in theory, then all they ever have access to is this small little like mud room where they can toss a package in and then shut that front door and never have access to anything else. Obviously, very few people are going to have that. Or if they do, it's a specialized treatment of their house. But that's... I mean, I'm not trying to be paranoid, but that's the most comfortable way I would be with it. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
My brother works for UPS. I trust him.
But, well, that's why Amazon's giving you the camera.
Right.
So that you'll have a recording. I mean, they're also selling you the cameras on its own. You can buy it for, I think, $200 on its own. It is a Nest Cam competitor. And its subscription, it's $200 for a two-pack, actually, if you get it without key. They have a subscription that's $70 a year, offering access to the last 7 days of motion detection clips for up to three cameras. That's way cheaper than what Nest has with the Nest cams these days. So that alone is a competitor. And then when you pair it with key, it's like, and you'll be able to see what happened. If somebody did come in, you'll be able to, you know, have a recording showing, hey, this is the driver that came in and drank all my vodka or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is this?
I don't know why I keep having the delivery drivers coming in drinking booze. It's very unsafe.
You have apparently a very specific.
Apparently that's what Tom does when you let him into your house, like when he's house sitting.
I was going to say, Tom has a very specific use case thing that he keeps bringing up. It's very weird.
So my other concern isn't so much, all right, are they going to come in and steal anything, because you've got the camera, they know they're being watched, but are they going to, when they're putting the thing in, accidentally let the cat out and not care about,
there's a few things to keep in mind. Mantlebeard wants to know what stops the driver from giving the key access to someone else. The driver doesn't have key access of their own. They have to scan the package in the presence of the lock. And then the package confirms, you're in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then the key will open just for that period of time that they open the door and put it in.
Yeah.
So they can't hand off that access, except like Scott says, if they bonk the driver on that or something like that.
There is some other complications to this I hadn't thought of. So there's the cat thing. And then, you know, does the cat get out? Here's another one. I know lots of people with existing security systems in their house, like a Honeywell system, where all of the doors have sensors.
And
the minute you unlock that while the thing is live, you've set off the alarm, the police come, there's nobody there, but there's a box on the floor. Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, that and the dogs, for me, are the two things where I'm like, well, this is just too complicated. Like, I'd have to keep the dogs away from that door, because otherwise they would bark and scare the driver away. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see anything. Maybe Amazon has a solution to the security system situation, but I didn't see anything that shows it integrating with that.
Yeah. The nice thing would be if we could have a universal holding device. This is never going to work because of size restrictions. Like, you're going to have bigger items, smaller items, whatever. But if there was just take this idea and just put it into its own space. Like, here's a box out in front of your house.
Solid. I mean, you could already do that with USPS and UPS, I think. Where you can buy a box and install it outside, and it's a locker that they have a universal key to, and then they can open that up and put your package in there.
That I kind of like. But also, you know, we're talking about one of the big areas where this has an effect is apartments. Like, it's not so much houses and nice, quiet neighborhoods we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, 800-unit apartments where there is some record of theft and You know, that's kind of where a lot of these packages
are sent. That's the use case they show in the video demonstrating this too, is a woman at work whose parents are coming. She forgot to buy a birthday present and her house is a mess. So what does she do? Mm. She goes on Amazon, she buys an immediate delivery birthday present, and authorizes that delivery person to just leave it inside the house so she can grab it real quick before mom sees that it's still in the Amazon box. And she calls up, or not calls up, she orders Mary Maid's cleaning service through Amazon Home Services and gives them authorization to come in and clean up the house.
Hmm. Do any of these people, when they get there to dump off the package or show up to clean it, open the door and go, oh my Lord, what happened in this place?
Yeah, they didn't show that.
Yeah, not very realistic.
Dump.
Yeah.
Or the Mary Maid's cleaning service stealing the package on their way out.
Right, yeah, it's true. There's a whole bunch
Mary Maid's is a fine company. Their employees would never do that.
Sure. They're great. They're merry also. They're very happy. So
yeah, super happy.
Check them out. That is a news story. I like that one. That's going to be good. So you guys check out the Daily Tech News Show. I guarantee Sarah's going to have stuff to say about that. She's going to have all kinds of thoughts.
Oh, she's got her own whole package delivery scenario that she's talked about before in the show. Yeah, so we definitely will get an account of her opinion of this for sure.
Yeah, you can count on it, that being Sarah Lane. Tom, anything else you'd like to mention either regarding that or any other cool things you have going on right now?
Well, I have a new book out called Pavaria. Mm. It is about a colony ship that has a broken engine and an ancient prohibition against fixing it, which means only part of the ship has enough power to remember they're on a ship. And large parts have fallen into sort of a pseudo-religious state and don't believe they're on a ship anymore. And one man gets sent to try to find some ancient notes that could help them figure this all out. That sounds interesting to you. You can find this wherever books are sold. TomMerrittBooks.com. I have all the links. It's available on Kindle now and the Amazon store and Barnes & Noble and Lulu.com and all kinds of places.
I like that when you keep seeing the word ancient, I like what that implies because it means that you've set this thing in a pretty far-flung universe because ancient would imply that there were spaceships at the time that these rules were made. And
well, yeah, they launched on a colony ship from Earth. Yeah. You find that out on the first page, so I don't think that's much of a spoiler. Yeah. But they've been in flight for a long time.
Yeah, I love that idea. Awesome concept. Go check it out, everybody. TomMerrittBooks.com for all Tom's writings, many of which can be found in book form as well. Tom Merritt, have a good one. Ace Detect on Twitter. Take it easy. And we'll see you later.
See you, Tom.
Bye now.
Okay. Very good.
It is very good. It's the definition of very good.
It is. Tom is, when you look up very good in the dictionary, it says see Tom Merritt. And then when you go to Tom Merritt in the dictionary, it says see very good.
Yeah. Then there's an alternate definition that says see Scott's homemade hot dog in a thing.
Is that what
that's also there?
The taco doggerito?
Yeah. It's really good. That thing.
Or I guess that was the Italian doggerito, the pizza doggerito.
Pizza doggerito. I got some other people trying it yesterday as well, which is always happy to see that happen. I'm also happy to see this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One, Nicole Spag, champion of sit-ups.
She's figuring out her microphone situation right now. Oh. I saw her mouth the words, damn it, Mark.
Oh, good. Because Mark is always jacking that up.
It's not even Mark. Mark has his own office. Like he's,
I heard, I'm hearing us twice.
We're hearing it now.
No, now we're good.
I got a cord that is all off.
Oh, well, you know, you just got to blame Mark is what I would do. Just blame Mark.
He's in a... I don't know, Tennessee, Kentucky,
wherever it was. Yeah, I can't remember. Mississippi.
What's he doing there? Some kind of woodworky deal?
Yeah, he's I don't know what the hell he's doing.
You just know he's not at home making you do sit-ups.
He's at the conference for remeasuring 2x4s. It's like he's a whole big.
Yeah, well, he's doing something with Powermatic. So Powermatic is our sponsor on the website, and stopped calling me Mark.
He's calling you now, is he?
I
like the idea, Brian, that the great controversy in the woodworking world would be, hey, we're thinking of going to 3x4s.
You know, the big problem with 2x4s is they're not 2 inches by 4 inches anymore. Now they're like 1¾ by 3.
Yeah, that was a whole lawsuit.
Oh, because people felt like they weren't getting enough wood when they go buy it?
Yeah, they're like, I paid for a 2x4. Where's my 2x4?
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
It's like the $5 foot long at Subway, where it wasn't really a foot long.
That's true. Well, nonetheless, notwithstanding, even though he is out of town, Nicole is here. She's fresh from her sit-ups from the other day.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah,
because you could choose whether or not to do it, And I was like, oh, it's 2 points. I'm totally going to do these 14 sit-ups.
Yeah. And right. if you haven't done them in a while, it can it'll take it out of you a little bit.
There was one where you just chose not to do it. Like, you're just like, no, I refuse.
Well, it was math. It was like you had to roll this set of dice and this set of dice, and then you had to subtract, and you had to do it all in 30 seconds. It was for 1 point. I was like, nope, not doing it.
And you still won the game, so you didn't need that point.
Yeah. Dice Capades, everybody. Yeah. Check it out. Good game.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm really glad we got a chance to play that.
I'm glad you guys guinea pigged it for everybody, because I'm now very interested in it after seeing how much fun you guys had.
I think that's going to be a lot more fun when we get some more people together for it. So we'll have to plan that one.
Did you tell Scott about one of the things you had to impersonate somebody?
No, but I've been thinking about that one for a while. So one of the cards we got, I drew, and I had to impersonate somebody at the table, but not say who it was. And everybody had to guess. And the person who guessed correctly got to move forward as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting at a table with Nicole and Mark and Tina, and I'm thinking, all right, well, I could do Nicole, and I could say, oh, guys, you got to check out this new movie, and it stars Philip Seymour
Hoffman. Seymour Hockerman, yeah.
So wait a minute. Or I could impersonate Mark. Oh, wood.
Wood. I'm all about the wood, yeah.
But I decided just to play it safe and impersonate somebody that I impersonate a lot, which is who's my wife.
Yeah.
And did her thing where she does the, you know, I really, really like my friend Al, but sometimes Al gets a little bit pushy.
Wow.
Sometimes.
She does that total, I mean, she is that Saturday Night Live skit with
Kristen Wiig.
Vanessa Bayer.
It is Vanessa Bayer and
Fred Armisen, where they go, you know, we really love the Shah of Iran, but sometimes, you know, he sends on invitation to a party.
That's pretty good. I didn't know she did that. I love this.
She absolutely does that. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, but yeah, it's a fun game. Thank you, JJ.
Yeah, thanks, JJ Valentine, the TMS original Black fan, although I've got some people who say that's not true, that they're the original Black fans.
Ooh, dispute.
Yep, I like it. Some disputations between our racially diverse audience. I love it. Let's get into it today. We're going to recommend some stuff from streaming services. That's what we do on Wednesdays. And we're going to start with Brian's clip. Any setup, Brian, or you want me to just go here? What do you want?
This is something brand spanking new. And I don't know if I want to say anything else about it. You know what? It's brand new.
Brand new.
Right. Brand new and worth checking out.
I like new. Here we go. Let's play it.
My name's Sebastian. What about you?
I'm Claire. I'm a photographer.
What kind of pictures do you take?
Perfect things. Imperfect things.
You ever spend the night with a stranger?
I don't even know you, Sebastian.
Get to know me.
I haven't been myself.
Is this the movie I told you to watch?
Nope.
Sometimes I feel like a ghost.
She's there, but she's not.
We know how it will turn out.
I have no idea.
I thought it was going to be that Contagious one that I...
No, that is on our list, and we will watch that, but we watch this one first. Here's what's really cool about it. It's 30 minutes long. It's a quick watch, and... Uh-huh. I'll bet that this is going to be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Short Film. It may not get it, but it's called Tokyo Project, and it's a short film on HBO. It's about 30 minutes long. It stars Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, I
you
like
know,
her.
Offred from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, the young version of my Aunt Phyllis is basically Elizabeth Moss. She's like a young version of her. It's really weird, yeah.
And Eben Moss Bacharach, who was on Girls, he's going to be in The Punisher, the new Netflix series The Punisher, and he played John Adams in John Quincy Adams.
Wait,
the guy's really good.
He played John Quincy Adams in John Adams. Is what you mean?
I'm sorry, he played John Quincy Adams. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry, I got that reversed.
Because Paul Giamatti was John Adams.
Paul
yes.
Giamatti was right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gotcha. I did have that backwards. Anyway, it's a short film about a guy and a woman who meet in Tokyo and have a very passionate night, and then something their dark past. Each of them have a dark past that is revealed. Ooh. And it's really interesting. It's really
in
cool.
In 30 minutes? It happens 30 in 30 minutes. Minutes, huh?
Happens in 30 minutes.
Gets right to it.
Yeah. It totally does. There's no fluff in this stuff. And the visuals are just so gorgeous because it's like, you know, Akihabara and Shibuya, and it's just gorgeous parts of Tokyo and ramen houses and teriyaki shops and stuff like that. It was very nostalgic, obviously, for Tina and I, having been there and having been to a few of the places that they show in the film. But I think it's really good. And it's funny because it's got some mixed reviews. There's some, I think Entertainment Weekly called it beautiful but flat. It's got a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. But there's other reviews that, you know, call it the greatest thing they've seen this year and this beautiful, beautiful visual experience and stuff like that. We really enjoyed it. And I think it's worth checking out.
Well, cool. color me interested. I will watch that. John Quincy Adams and The Handmaid get together finally.
That's right. Finally, the two get together.
Make their way to Japan. All right. Well, here's my clip. It is going to be very obvious what this is. And I'll say that I really enjoyed it, but here's the clip. Here you go.
After 8 years of Obama, it was time to elect either a very qualified woman or a racist scrotum dipped in Cheeto dust. And the country said, see what the scrotum has to say. I don't know, maybe. We will have a woman president, but just keep in mind that after she serves her term, the choices will very probably be a very qualified gay guy and a KKK dude with the ass cut out of his jeans.
All right.
That was Patton Oswalt. Yeah. Annihilation, right?
That's the one. That's brand new Netflix comedy special.
Too.
It was really good. The preview makes it sound way more political than it is. It's actually not. There's chunks, but... It's actually a weird mix of hilarious and super sad.
Yeah.
Because this is his first special since his wife's passing, and he talks about that. It's obviously a cathartic thing for him to do. I think that was all on purpose to sort of get it out there, but he talked a lot about his life with his daughter since she died, what that was like, what you have to deal with. There's a really funny story about a flight attendant from Poland who was trying to be really nice to the girl at the airport. And I won't give it away, but I was dying,
that
dude.
Was funny.
It was so funny. So he was able to take a lot of sort of sad stuff, but make really funny stories around them. And if you're at all a fan of Patton's work, you're going to love this automatically. If you've never heard his stand-up before, it's one of the best he's done. There's stuff a little on the crass side, probably not for kids, but...
I like what his wife says. It's chaos, be kind.
Yeah, it's chaos. Life is chaos, be kind. It was really an interesting thread through the whole thing. Anyway, it's totally really good. I thought it was great. I didn't expect to be so emotionally grabbed by it and laugh a lot. Like there's a catharsis to it that is not just for him. I think a lot of people might come away with that. So check it out. It's called Annihilation, Patton Oswalt's latest stand-up comedy special, available on Netflix as an original right now.
There you go.
Nicole, what did you bring with you?
Hopefully you can hear this. I don't know if...
Mark left you. Yeah.
I know. I might. So you tell me if you can't hear it or not.
All right. Can't hear it.
Nope.
You can't hear it?
Nope.
Can't hear it.
Nope.
Damn it.
Mark!
And
he's in Tennessee where you can't do anything to him.
I know. It wasn't his fault.
Oh.
It's probably because input, output. No, that should be fine. That's good. Brian, I'm going to send the clip to you.
Okay. All right, sounds good. How are you sending it to me?
Wait, send it to me because send it to
but
me.
You'll see it. You'll see
oh,
it.
Oh, you
though.
Don't want me to give it away. All right, that's fine.
Yeah. That's not
fun. That's true. And Brian can play stuff right now, Brian, can't you?
I can play stuff. You'll get a little echo for a second here as I turn this on.
But
there's
a
little bit of echo.
But.
Instant message.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Yeah, hear yourself twice. Sometimes three times.
Is it better now?
Oh, it's better now.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't look at the chat, Scott.
Okay, I'm not looking. Not looking.
You put in the chat. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not looking. I'm good.
Oh, you put in, in the old chat. No? Where is
it? In
that?
Skype.
Skype chat.
Oh, Skype chat. Oh, my gosh.
Are you not connected there?
I just had to.
This is good podcasting right here.
It's really good. Working it out as we go.
I'm in Skype chat right now and I don't see it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just texted it to you too.
All right, good too.
Oh, she sent it to me. That's why you didn't get Brian. She sent me.
She sent it to Scott.
Oh.
Mark, I still blame Mark.
I'm just having one of those weeks where my brain, I've had a headache, like just a small headache for almost 2 weeks now.
Those are the worst.
And last night it manifested into a migraine. So I'm just off. I'm so off right now.
It's all right. I understand completely. I've had these all days.
Right. Yeah, I've got it queued up here. And
okay.
All right.
Nicole's movie.
All right.
I just looked at the news and I think I'm in shock. A giant monster just materialized over Seoul.
That happened like 9 hours ago. You're just hearing about this. What have you been doing all day?
You ever notice how it just keeps destroying everything in its path, but it never looks down? It's like operated by remote control.
Oh, I know what this is.
All right.
This is the Princess Diaries Big Eye Girl, right? Where she's controlling a giant like Tokyo monster but not knowing it or something.
they said it in the title in the clip, Seoul, not mm-hmm. Tokyo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so sorry, not Japan. So I was thinking of the other movie. Yeah, so she, but I've seen things about this, heard things about it. People were like, "Oh my gosh, you have to see this weird movie." It seems like something I would totally love, but for whatever reason, I haven't gotten around to it.
So the movie is called Colossal, and it's streaming on Hulu right now. Yeah. That's where I had a chance to watch it. Brian and I got talking about it. He's seen it too. Just it wasn't streaming. You watched it? What, you rented it or something, Brian? Yep.
We went to the theater because we'd heard so
much. Oh, you went to
about it, and we saw it. And the first thing I did is tell Scott, "Oh my God, you and Carter have to see this thing because
that's the one."
I could see Carter doing artwork about it.
Yeah. This is the one you were trying to tell me about before. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how I heard about it. Actually, it was through Ryan.
So it also stars Jason Sudeikis as a high school friend, or so you think. And she basically is a party girl that you heard in the clip her boyfriend going, "What did you do all day?" She's an alcoholic and she's a partier. She's out of work and her boyfriend got fed up with her, so he kicks her out. She goes back to her hometown. That's where she runs into Jason Sudeikis. He now owns a bar that is, I think, his dad used to own. And this, you know, she's down on her luck. She's living in her parents' old house that has no furniture. She clearly has an alcohol problem. And then this weird thing happens where she realizes she's the monster. She controls the monster that shows up in Seoul, in South Korea, at a specific time. And there's a connection between her childhood and the monster. And I don't know, because you
don't want to give any more of it away.
I'm not going to give it any more of it away. But the point of all this is it's like her journey through her demons. And this monster kind of represents herself and, you know, the world around her. And it was one of those movies, I don't know about for you, Brian, did you clearly understand kind of like the parallels of what it was supposed to like mean and stuff like that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you nailed it. I mean, it is her inner demons. It's her.
Yeah.
It's again, I don't want to say too much about it because I feel like the less you know going into this thing, when we last saw it, we knew nothing about it. We knew Anne Hathaway was in it. We knew Jason Sudeikis was in it and it was, everything else was a complete shock, but totally.
But it's going to be, but if I think, you're on the positive side. I think some people going into the movie, if they really understand what's going to happen, they're going to leave very confused.
Right. Especially if they hear, "Oh, it's a monster movie. Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to go watch this." Cause it's tangentially a monster movie.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
Tim Blake Nelson's in it too. Was one of my favorites.
Oh, I love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great. We thought you was a toad. That's what that guy is.
Oh, you little, the sirens turned you into a toad.
Them sirens. Now that's a good boy. Yeah, I'm excited now to see it finally. I need to just get to it. Yeah. I didn't know it was streaming somewhere, so that's good.
Hulu.
Well done, Hulu. You've got things for me to watch. That's what I like to hear. All right. Well, these are all fine recommendations. Go check them out in their various forums. We should probably run down what they were again real quick. It was a HBO 30-minute thing. Brian, what was it called?
It was called Tokyo Project.
Tokyo Project. Mine was called Patton Oswalt's Annihilation. You can find that on Netflix. And Nicole with Colossal over there on Hulu. I guess that's it. Nicole, anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
We're closing in at the end to the end of the month, which means our Woodworkers Fighting Cancer drive is going to be closing up soon. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to build anything. If you want to participate, you can head on over to woodworkersfightingcancer.com. And there's a lot of different ways. We're running some auctions. You can just donate directly to the Jimmy Fund. And we're trying to raise $15,000.
It's a good amount of money for a good cause. So go check that out. And follow Nicole at Nicole Spag on Twitter. She will be listing these movies and so much more over there. Thank you so much, and we'll see you later.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye now. Okay. Well, Brian, that brings us to nearly the end of things, but I do have two emails to read.
Okay.
These came to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's how you get to us via email. And one of them,
that's a good place to send it. Yeah.
I completely agree. Kevin wrote in, says, Scott and Brian, just listening to episode 1360, where Scott was talking about making hot dogs and cheese wrapped in tortillas. Here in Nebraska, we have a Mexican fast food chain called Amigos that occasionally has these on the menu under the name Yankee Burritos. I have friends that love these things. Signed, Kevin. So apparently, you know, even
already a thing,
already
yeah.
a thing, or at least a thing Yankee. That others have appreciated. So
I'm looking at Amigos menu. I'm just curious about what other
do you have them
accoutrements they put. No,
never heard of them either.
No, Amigos. I wonder if it's a chain.
Sounds good to me. I could use more Mexican.
I would eat at a place
chains.
Called yeah, there it is, Yankee Burrito. The maybe. Official summer fling. No, I guess that's something else. Oh, there it is. Fast Mexican food, Amigos and King's Classic. And there it is, the Amigo Burrito.
Yankee Burrito, no?
I'm sorry, the Yankee Burrito. Mm-hmm. Finding it. Yeah. Sorry.
Only get it in New York. It's only if you like baseball. That's how you get a Yankee Burrito.
It is not listing it.
Damn it.
It must be limited time or I must have gone to the wrong place. Amigo's King's Classic menu, and it's not showing it.
Well, he did say it's an occasional menu item, so maybe that's
oh,
off.
There you go. So they probably yeah.
Could be a McRib kind of deal.
Right, exactly.
David wrote in, says, "Hey, scrotum and balls." Jeez.
Oh, thanks a lot. Jeez.
No kidding.
Let's see where your mind goes.
I had an encounter that reminded me of you two, and I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Recently, while on a plane, I decided to watch American Vandal on Netflix. Now, Brian, you know what American Vandal is, right?
I hear that's, yeah, you've told me about it. I think you may have even recommended it here on this very show. It's on our radar, but we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's a fake documentary, basically, and it's very funny. And it follows that's the true right. true crime kind of thing like we got with How to Make a Murderer, but it's a total joke. And it's pretty funny. It's about a guy that draws wieners on everything, basically. So
that's right.
He says it's a true crime satire of documentaries. In the show, there's an investigation of who drew 27 penises on 27 cars in a school parking lot. And they go bananas with showing you the penile imagery, which was not expected. Everything was fine until I noticed the woman next to me. This is really great. The woman next to me had paused the episode of 24 she was watching and was looking at my screen. Then her phone came out and she was very obviously recording my screen and then panning over to me and then panning back to the screen. I saw her then captioning the video for Snapchat with the words, quote, "Seriously, this guy is 30. I called her out and told her she should have asked me if she or she could have asked me to change it, at which point she claimed she was going to send the video to her son, who had just watched it, to show she saw it in the wild. I dropped it despite her obvious lie and switched to Stranger Things. I felt like this was an experience we'd hear from you guys talking about on the Monday morning episode. I hope your upcoming plane rides aren't this awkward, or maybe he secretly hopes they are. Don't watch the show on the plane, though, David." That's pretty funny. Yeah, I've never had that happen.
I like that he busted her, and I'm so glad he called her out on it, too. Like, oh, am I... So you can videotape me for your own enjoyment? Oh, I was surprised to see this in the wild.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. I think what she's really saying is, oh my gosh, there's penises all over this thing. This guy must be the worst. Something, something, something. Who knows?
I like Sidian's suggestion. Instead of switching to Stranger Things, he should have just switched to hardcore porn and turned the screen to face her.
Yeah. She's like, here you go. Here's one for you. Check this out.
And then Snapchatted a video of her looking over at his screen saying, wow, this woman asked me to change my video, Snapchat. asked me to change to point the screen to her so she could watch it, Snapchat, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Good job, Sidian. Well-planned idea. That's your emails for today. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where you can send those. You can find all our other links and things at frogpants.com/TMS. Tomorrow, Wendy will be here. There was a chance she wasn't going to, but now she had some other thing that got changed, so now she will be here. So looking forward to that. It'll be our last Thursday with her for at least another week. So excited about that. Come on back for that. Before we get out of here, selection of music from Brian is the tradition. So we better keep
allow me to play a selection.
Right.
This one's going out to Kimmy Greer, a.k.a. Walking Glitch. She says, hello, hello, Brian and Scott and the rest of you listening. I'm seeing my favorite band today. It's really tomorrow, but there's a lot of stuff that came in for tomorrow. October 26th for the second time, but an acoustic tour this time and the first acoustic concert for her. I wanted to share a piece of my love with everyone, especially since I'm going to see going to the concert solo. It'll be like forcing you all to be there with me, if for only but a moment.
Nice.
Breaking Benjamin has been with me through all my teenage angst, adult anxiety, and depression. I was listening to one of their albums in my darkest moments. I believe it helped me survive that night. I'm new to the Tadpole. I'm very glad to be a part of this tight-knit family group, especially in times when we need support, love, and acceptance the most. Wish all the best of vibes. Signed, Kimmy. Well, Kimmy, we love you and so glad that you're part of the Tadpole. And so glad that you wrote in. You're awesome, and I hope you enjoy the concert. Now, she basically just wanted to hear any cover of any of their songs. I don't have any covers of Breaking Benjamin, but I have a few covers by Breaking Benjamin. And this one seems to fit pretty well with the acoustic tour you're seeing. So hopefully you enjoy this, and hopefully being a fan of the band, maybe this is something that you were unaware that they covered. I'm hoping that this is new to you and that you can enjoy it. This is from a tribute to Queen that came out in 2005 called Killer Queen. It was an album of different modern artists covering Queen songs. And as a cover of the song from Highlander, Who Wants to Live Forever, here is Breaking Benjamin.
There's no time for us. There's no place for us. What is this thing that builds our dreams yet slips away from us? Who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? Ooh. There's no chance for us. It's all decided for us. This world has only one sweet moment set aside for us. Who wants to live forever? Must die.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're a white guy.